We are on Perek Revi'i, Mishnah Chaf Aleph. We only have one left to go, so we may finish and do a Siyum next week. Again, we shall see, unless I can pull something off about Hanukkah, which would also be fantastic, because I would like to learn about Hanukkah myself once we're talking about it. Okay, ready? So, Chaf Aleph, very short, very short. One of the shortest Mishnayos. Let's read it. You'll all say to me, "Oh my God, this reminds me of something I learned 4 years ago, Chana. I totally remember that 4 years ago we learned a very similar Mishnah at the Midrasha like get together for parents where I met Ayelet's mom."
Oh, I remember what you said that night. I loved it.
Really? That is so
Yeah.
sweet. Thank you for saying that. So this is a very similar Mishnah to that. Carrie, I don't think I met your mom. Shira, I don't think I met yours.
I wasn't part of the Midrasha.
Oh, more, more. That's
Me
okay.
either. Never me either.
All right, yell it. It's just me and you and your mom and Margalit's mom. I remember like meeting everybody's moms. It was like such a crazy experience. And you all met Jeff's mom. All right, ready? Here we go. Perek Chof Aleph. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod motziyan es ha'adam min ha'ulam. Stop. Okay. Last week's Mishnah was super long. Next week's Mishnah is super long. This week we get one sentence. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, jealousy, taiva, desire or greed, the kavod, the hakavod, honor, motziyan es ha'adam min ha'ulam, takes a person out of this world. So again, instead of asking like just stump questions on it, which we usually do, I want you to tell me what burden of explanation is every mefarish going to have. What are the things that need to be explained about this Mishnah? There's basically two, sort of three.
Why specifically these three things
Good.
are chosen?
Good. Why these three, right? What's the relationship do they have to each other, and what relationship do they have to the rest of this Mishnah, which is the next question, which is what?
What does it mean to be taken out of the world?
Good. What does it mean to be taken out of the world? And what's the mechanism by which that happens, right? What does that mean, and how does it happen? Is it like stum, this like spiritual thing that's a consequence, or is it like a natural consequence as we talk about, right? In what reality are we talking about that? Now wager a guess. Wager a guess. Can we do it? We've gone four prukim with Rabbeinu Yonah and Rav Hirsch. Who's going to say what about Motziyan es ha'adam min ha'olam? What kind of mechanism is at play? If you have to guess what Rav Hirsch is going to say, and if you have to guess what Rabbeinu Yonah is going to say, who wants to do either one or all of them? I'll give you a hint. No, I won't give you a hint yet. I'm going to let you answer first. Yeah, go ahead, Carrie.
I'm guessing Rav Hirsch is gonna go more like, I don't know, like psychologically and like as like a person, like what it does to you.
100% good. He is.
Yeah, going through me.
Good. Okay, good. So one of them is gonna say that Motziyan es ha'adam min ha'olam is like a natural consequence that happens to like your personality in the world, and that's Rav Hirsch. And the other one, so that was like the hint that I was gonna say. And then one of them is going to say that Motziyan es ha'adam min ha'olam is like a spiritual consequence, right? We don't necessarily know why it's happening, but it's like the knas. It's the tax that you pay for doing this kind of thing. What happens spiritually is this other thing without necessarily an explanation of it being natural at all, right? That's Rabbeinu Yonah. So that was gonna be my hint. Carrie, very good. You spot on pinned Rav Hirsch, and Rabbeinu Yonah, which is again, what's the, Yael, you told me a phrase last time. What is it? Everyone is mefarish according to their methodology, no? No, you said that? No? Okay. You'll let me
It
know.
sounds like something I would say, but I don't know if I said it.
Think the last time that I asked this kind of question, you were like, yeah, everybody, every, no, okay, I'll have to look it up.
Like, have people translate like according to their life experience? Is that what you're
No,
talking
it
about?
was, it's not. It's
No.
like that every mefarish has a certain way of looking at it, and then they explain things according to their way of looking at things. According to their Weltanschauung, basically. They have a Weltanschauung, and they explain things according to that Weltanschauung. No?
I mean, I do feel that way, so I
Yeah,
could
me
have said
too.
it.
All
My
right.
first thing, I'll take it.
I'll try to find it. Hi, Batsheva. Welcome. I will try to figure that out. Okay, here's Rabbeinu Yonah. Ready? So this is one of the shortest Mishnayos, and one of the longest Rabbeinu Yonahs we have ever encountered, if not the longest Rabbeinu Yonah that we've ever encountered, especially on just one line. So it goes all the way over here, and then it goes all the way down this page. That's all Rabbeinu Yonah. And then it goes all the way down this page. Okay, so the capacity that I had to teach Rabbeinu Yonah in this class was basically shot. So I did something that I've never done before. Woohoo! This is why we're still here 2.5 years later. We're all still learning, which is that I made a PowerPoint. in English. I could have done like the Hebrew quotes and whatever, but I didn't. Okay. And we are going, and then I learned how to animate PowerPoints, which I am literally live under a rock and I'm married to a techie. So I didn't know how to do that. And that was exciting. Okay. So this is what Urbana Yona does. And then we're going to fill in the PowerPoint ourselves and go through it. Okay. So Urbana Yona does, and again, apologies, it's in English instead of in Hebrew, but next time around, 10 years from now, when we do this again, I'll make it in Hebrew instead. Which is that we are going to go through what Urbana Yona does. Okay? Urbana Yona does this for Kinah, Taiva, and Kavod. So the PowerPoint is going to be 3 slides long, one on Kinah, one on Taiva, and one on Kavod. Okay? And what he does is that he talks about 2 or 3 negative outshoots of Kinah, let's say, and then he talks about the positive, like Kinah in a positive dimension. So is anyone familiar? Let's start with Kinah. Is anyone familiar with Kinah in a positive dimension? That you can ask a. Okay, good, right? The very famous, everyone hear what Ayal just said? Kina Sofrim Tar B'Chochma, okay, from Bava Basra. The jealousy of sages increases wisdom, okay? So, what does that chazal mean here? Meaning, like, we all know, not all of us, some of us know that chazal on the tip of our tongues, right? Most of us are familiar with it. What does that chazal, what is the presence of chazal in our minds, that chazal in our minds, do to this Mishnah? Again, according to Rabbi Yonah, who very much calls it out, Rav Hirsch does not. What does that chazal mean for our Mishnah? And this is what Rabbeinu Yonah does, right? What? Rabbeinu Yonah goes through both Kinah and then Taiva and then Kavod and talks about possible ways that this Midah could be used for the good and that is like totally fine. It seems to be. There's a kasha at the end, which maybe I'll go to at the end if anyone's interested in it, but otherwise it's a little too lumdish. But okay, so let's assume that Rabbi Yona is saying there's negative offshoots, but there's also positive offshoots, right? And why does he say that? Because of the presence of those kinds of chazals, right? Rabbi Yona knows that there has to be a good kind of kinah because there's this famous, very famous chazal in which kinah sovrim tarba chachma. It's good. It's good to be jealous of sages because it increases your wisdom. So it can't be, basically, this seems to be, again, according to, this is what I think Rabbi Yona's logic is, because otherwise it's like a funny thing to do on this Mishnah that says, kinah taivan and kavod takes a person out of this world. And Rabbi Yona spends, like we just saw, 2.5 pages going through how that's like qualifying that. Not really. It's not that actually Kinatai and a Kavod essentially takes a person out of the world. For the most part, it does. But I'm also going to tell you about the situations where it doesn't. Why does he do that? Because it's not what? What's the word for that not being? It's not pshat, right? It's not pshat. Pshat is Rav Elazar HaKapar, and Rav Hirsch sticks with the pshat. And you're going to see also Chacham Umasar basically sticks with the pshat, right? Rav Hirsch is this, that's a pshat. That's what he's saying. Rav Yehuda is like, it's not. Kinah is pretty bad, but it's not always bad, okay? And that's his whole parish. Kinah's pretty bad, it's not always bad. Tithe is pretty bad, usually bad, not always bad. Kavod, usually bad, not always bad. Okay, and let's start actually with Motzianas Adamina Olam, otherwise we're not sure where we're going here. So again, like we said before, what's Rav Hirsch's parish on Motzianas Adamina Olam? Why are these three things bad, or what happens to you if you have these three things? Hakina kamosha ne'amar, and it quotes urakav atzamos kina, kina like dries up your bones. Hataiva kamosha ne'amar, taivas atzel timisenu, that the desires of a lazy person will kill him. The kavod kamosha matzinu by Yosef, this is like incredible. Taiva kavod like we saw with Yosef, and it quotes a gemara in brachos. Shemis eser shanim kodem la'achav, he dies 10 years before any of his siblings. Mipnei she'hinig atzmo berabanos, because he chose power for himself. He chose kavod for himself. Okay? So what did Rabbeinu Yonah just say about Motzianas Adamina Olam? Did he define it? No, he didn't tell us pshat. He didn't tell us what he thinks of pshat is. But he sourced it all to places that talk about death. But don't explain why something is happening. So again, we have to infer from here that Rabbeinu Yonah says Motzianas Adamina Olam, again, is the spiritual process that's extremely literal, right? Spiritually, the spiritual reality around these three things, because that's how Hashem made the world work, is that it literally kills people. Kinah, Taiva, and Kavod, if you do it badly. Okay, and the first part, which we just skipped, but here we're going to our PowerPoint now. The first part is talking about what does it mean to do it badly? Okay, what does that look like? Hold on a second. Gotta get to my slideshow. Okay, guys, this is ridiculous. Hold on a second. Here we go. Okay, close your eyes for a second because I have to share it and then I have to go to the slideshow. Okay, jealousy. Now, tell me. Okay, good. Now I can see you guys on the side. You see it? Yes? Good. What is... So the arrows that go to the right are the bad and the arrow goes to the left is the good. Okay, it goes in the order of the bad and then the good. What is jealousy that is bad? Give me some examples. Any examples. We'll see if it's on Rabbeinu Yonah's chart. What's bad jealousy? The worst jealousy, and then like first tier bad, second tier bad, and then good. That's what he does. So what's first tier bad, second tier bad jealousy, and then what's jealousy that's okay? Answer any of those.
About like certain things, like jealous of a thing that somebody else has.
Yeah, that's the assumption, jealous of a thing that someone else has. And he talks about both chachma and osher, are the examples that Urbana Yona gives. So jealous of like a quality that somebody else has, that's a positive quality, and jealousy of a thing that someone else has, like money. So what's bad jealousy? Worst kind of jealousy, sort of pretty bad kind of jealousy, and good jealousy. So good jealousy, we could already fill in. That's Ayelet's kinasofer and tarba chachma.
Well, I, for looking at like Dilraysa, it's your friend's wife, right? Like someone else's spouse would be like the worst type of jealousy because Dilraysa.
Good, that's interesting. So he's not talking about the things that, I think that was also Carrie's question. He's not talking about like jealousy for what kind of thing. He's talking about what kind of jealousy. So again, here, and here, we might not even associate this as jealousy. I didn't necessarily. So here's the first box, okay? Which is that you're jealous on principle of anyone who has good because you don't think that people should have good. No one should have anything good, both money and qualities. People should not have good stuff. So if they have good stuff, you're jealous of them. We don't really think of this as jealous. We think of this maybe more as taiva or whatever, but fine. That's Urbana Yona's first one. What's the second kind of jealousy that's much more like commonplace?
Like if I don't have it, you shouldn't.
Good. If I don't have it, you shouldn't. And I want to have more than everyone else does. Okay, good. So if I don't have it, you shouldn't have it. If you have it, I want it and I want more. Right? So it's like taiva from, it's kina from like a status. Okay? And again, we're going to see that these two things basically stick, the status piece sticks throughout the kina, taiva, and kavod. So that's a hint. And again, what's the good thing? Jealousy of scholars. And then you work to be better like them. Again, I'm not doing the exact lashon of Urbana Yona. I should. I apologize. I'll try to do that next time. Right, to work to be better, it's motivating, basically, right? It's not only that you're jealous of them, it's you're jealous of them, and then you yourself go through toil in your own personality to become more like that. That's positive jealousy. That's jealousy that is used for a positive end, and Urbana Yona says that that is, like, absolutely okay. He said it's not as good as someone who just, let's say, chachma, okay? You're jealous that somebody knows more Torah than you, so you're going to toil to learn more Torah. He's like, it's not as good as somebody who anyways just wants to learn Torah and toils as much themselves without needing the jealousy, but he's like totally fine with it. Totally fine with it. There's nothing wrong. He says Hashem is okay with a motivation that you are kinas ofrin. You are jealous of the good quality that someone else has and you work to get it because you've been motivated by what they have and you want it for yourself, what someone else has. So again, according to Urbana Yona, it's like an incredible thing. The judgment of yourself versus other people is not inherently krum. It's not. As long as it motivates you to good, it's okay. If it motivates you to want them not to have it, or again, the status and you should have more, right? Anything on the right side of that chart, that's krum. But just the fact that you're judging yourself against other people, it could be totally fine. And he's like, Hashem is perfectly fine with that kind of motivation, which is pretty incredible, okay? Here's our next slide. Okay, greed or desire. Sorry, I have a camera over here because my camera broke. So like, that's why I'm always ducking underneath to see what happens, okay? I mean, to see what it says up there. Greed or desire. So what are the, now there's three tiers. What are some bad tiers and what's the good? Good greed or desire and bad kinds of greed and desire. How much of this chart can we fill in?
Guessing good greed is like for either learning Torah or mitzvos.
Good, that you want more of something, right? But what you want more of is itself good. And you want more of it because you affiliate with that good and you want more of that good, right? So you want something you don't have. You have that desire for something outside of yourself. But since it's good, it's totally fine. Good. Absolutely right, Carrie. What are bad kinds of greed or desire, right? Greed, like you want something else. It's actually kind of fascinating what he says here. I have to read this inside. I mean, it's always fascinating, but like this specific line. Okay, hold on a second. Oh, it's actually by Kina, okay? But this is worth reading out loud, which is that he's talking about Kina sa osher. Okay, so like, let's put this in parentheses for a second. And he says that why is Kina sa osher so bad, right? That you, Shehu, Ra, v'kasha be'inav, ki yesh usher la'acherim, achareisha ein lo. Right? He's upset that other people have something that he doesn't have. Ve'in b'chol eila kazela roa. There's nothing so bad as this. Ki sone tovas hanivraim, ve'inu rotze b'sikun ha'olam. Never encountered that phrase before in Rabbeinu Yonah. Sikun olam, right? It's like tikun olam, right? It's like such a modern phrase. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the reason that jealousy is bad is because the fact that other people have something that you don't have, even if you want it, is part of tikun olam. It's part of the world functioning in the way that it is, that it should. And you should be happy with what everyone else gets and what you get, because that's the part of the natural order of the world that God made for the world to be what the world is supposed to do, supposed to be. So if you're jealous, it's like your pigam, like what midas it a pigam in, so to speak, is tikkun olam, your will for the world to improve. Isn't that fascinating? Okay, that was actually not relevant to this taiva, so let's go here. Okay, let's fill in this chart. We don't want to spend too much time on this. Right, so the first taiva is that you want to be the only one with anything. You don't want anyone to have anything at all. You don't want anyone to have anything. Okay, what's the second one? What's gonna be the next level? Other people are allowed to have stuff, just you want to have more than them. Right? There's status again. All the people are allowed to have it, but I want more. Okay, and the third one is like, I want stuff, I don't really care how much stuff other people have, right? And we see like how kinna and taiva are related to each other, right? If you want stuff, and it's also stuff vis-a-vis other people, and if you have more or less than other people, it's kind of, again, similar to kinna. I'm not 100% sure about these distinctions, and it wasn't really where I felt like going in the analysis of this Mishnah, okay? Good. So, and then, again, this is good. Desire for wisdom or good to serve God, right? You know these things are good, and you want this good, so you're going to use it for the good. That's what Carrie said. Taiva for good things. Okay, here we go. Honor. Let's do this. What can we fill in? Good honor, bad honor. Let's go. What is it? Good. Kavod HaTorah, exactly, right? That you want kavod, and it's completely not for your own sake, right? It's lashma, it's lashem shemayim. You want Torah for symbolically, basically, the same thing that you're honoring, you want to be honored because that's what you honor. It has nothing to do with you. Good, so that's going to be the good kavod. What's the bad kavod?
You want to be above everyone else.
Good. You want to be the most powerful. He says, interesting, like, you want to be above everyone else. So again, that's the status, right? To lord above others, right? You want to have more kavod than other people. The first tier bad for him is to be like, you want to be powerful because you want to be, I mean, you want to kavod because you want to be powerful and intimidating, okay? And again, honor for what he stands for, which is Torah and God. That's the good kind of honor. That is totally fine. So, good. So that was our PowerPoint. Thank you very much, everybody, for humoring me with that. Maybe I humored you. I'm not sure who humored anybody else. How do we get out of here? Stop, share. That's how we get out of here. Good. Okay. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a fascinating premise, which is that kinna, taiva, and kavod are not inherently what?
Bad.
Problematic. Exactly. They're not inherently bad. It's just how you use them often could be bad, but really has a point or like a place where lichatchila, it's totally fine and good. Okay? So it's interesting what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. I think he's mukhrach to say it. He feels forced into saying it. I think that, again, because of the chazals that we know and the psukim that we know about it, etc., etc., but it's not really pshat. It doesn't really seem to be what Rav Elazar HaKapar is saying. Okay? So Rav Hirsch, obviously, is going to give us a very different read. It's much shorter than Rabbeinu Yonah. It's basically like three lines. But you're going to see he's going to tie up all those ends. Okay? And he's going to give us a very tight read of the pshat. What has to be done in order for it to be more pshat? Whatever.
Only negative manifestation.
Say it again, what?
Only say the negative manifestation.
Good, right? It has to be something is wrong with these three things, and these three things specifically, right? Rav Hirsch doesn't really, I mean, Rabbeinu Yonah, sorry, I keep doing that. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't really touch on that, right? But it has to be these three specific things, and there has to be something about them that is specifically Motsiyanas Adamina Ola. Right? And that being something that maybe isn't, I guess Rabbeinu Yonah's answer to that is like, there's three places that talk about death and affiliation with these three midos, and that's how we know what it is. But then he's going to have to defend all the other places, if he wanted to go that track, all the other places and all the other midos that have similar, you know, psukim about them. Okay, fine, good. So here's Rav Hirsch, okay? I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you what he does. So pay attention, okay? Why these three? And what does Motsiyanas Adamina Ola mean, according to Rav Hirsch? God caused man to live in the world and made him fit for it. Principle number one, okay? God caused man to live in the world and made him fit for it. It is only in connection with this world and through the endeavor to utilize his energies in the service of the world and its welfare that man fulfills his purpose. The vices listed here, however, make selfish interest the sole purpose of him whom they dominate, and so they cause him to clash with the rest of the world. For under such circumstances, the world has value to him only as long as it will cater to his desires. Thus, he forfeits the destiny for which God made him. So let's answer the first one. I'm going to read it again. Answer one question at a time. What does it mean, motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam? What's his definition of it? And Carrie, you're going to be like, this is exactly what I expected Rav Hirsch to go. But as much as I could expect him to go, I never know what he's really going to say. You know, like, I can't come up with Rav Hirsch's payrush. I just know the track he's going to take. And then he takes it. And I'm like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Like, of course that's what he says, right? Good. So pay attention again. Motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam. How is he defining that? God caused man to live in the world and made him fit for it. It is only in connection with this world and through the endeavor to utilize his energies in the service of the world and its welfare that man fulfills his purpose. The vices listed here, however, make selfish interest the sole purpose of him whom they dominate, and so they cause him to clash with the rest of the world. For under such circumstances, the world has valued him only as long as it will cater to his desires. Thus, he forfeits the destiny for which God made him. What does it mean, motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam?
I think from, like, society and from people and, like, from, like, how, like, the world is supposed to be run and, like, how people are supposed to be connected.
Good. Agree or disagree with Carrie? Agree. Shira agrees. Ayelet's not sure.
But I also think it's about, like, the destiny part.
Good.
Like, good. It's also that you're not fulfilled. Like, you're, because you're not... like, you're using it for selfish purposes, you are not fulfilling, like, the destiny you're put here for.
Exactly. Good. Carrie, what you picked up on, I think, is a little bit more of the kinataiva and kavod piece of it. And what Shira's pointing out, so it's what you said is just more pointed, right? He's saying that motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam doesn't only mean your disassociation with other people. It's that your disassociation with other people and the penalty is your own purpose in the world. It's an incredible principle that Rav Hirsch says here, right? Like, again, these, I said to Jeff this morning when I was preparing this, I was like, every single one of these Mishnayos, again, we're going to learn Chachma Musar, and he's going to be like, this is a yesod of learning Musar. This is the whole point of learning Musar. It's something like this, right? I'm like, every single Mishnah, there's like some yesod that comes out. There's no like stam Mishnah. They're all yesods. Like, right? So here's Rav Hirsch. Reverse is like the yesod of a person's purpose in the world. I mean, I'm someone who like stays up at night in existential inks trying to figure out the purpose of people in the world. Here's Rav Hirsch. On this Mishnah, what's the purpose of the people in the world? Your purpose in the world is in connection with this world and through the endeavor to utilize the energy, in the service of the world and its welfare, that man fulfills his purpose. Your purpose is the service of the world and its welfare. So what's the problem with these three things? This is Carrie, is what you were saying, right? These are essential. These three things orient man backwards. Right? This is a totally krum, meaning a totally opposite hashkafas achayim. You're supposed to look at the world and look out and ask yourself how you could service the world. And instead, someone who has kina, taiva, and kavo, these three specific things, are vices that what? Make selfish interest the sole purpose of him whom they dominate. Right? Your whole life becomes taken over with what can I pull inwards toward myself? What can I get from the world, right? What can I get? What can I pull towards my own personality versus what can my personality orient outwards? And what does it mean, motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam? The truth is, Carrie, before you said that, I didn't even think about that, but like, I think that what you're saying also holds true just as much, right? It makes him, motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam, it makes him clash with the world, right? It makes his essential purpose in conflict with the world. And in that way, what Shira said, he forfeits his destiny, right? You're supposed to be doing something else. So like these three have a mass penalty, motzian es ha'adam min ha'olam. They take you out of your purpose for the world. You may as well not be here. What's the point? So again, Rav Hirsch doesn't go into like, do you actually die? Or like, do you get like ulcers because you're like making you upset? Like, he doesn't get into that, right? But his point is, you've forfeited your purpose. Because your purpose is to look at the world going outwards. There's a beautiful quote from Rav Hirsch that I read somewhere and I don't know where it is, where Rav Hirsch says that his like goal, maybe it was 19 letters, I don't know, I have to find it somewhere, that his desire is to leave the world with the world having a debt of gratitude towards himself and not the other way around. He doesn't want to leave the world having gotten more than he took. Like, his goal is to leave the world having given more than he ever took from it. And like, that would make him happy. So it's a beautiful quote. If I find it, I'll send it in the group. Into my other Hirschian Club group where we swap these kinds of quotes. Highly recommended. Everybody should get their own Hirschian Club. Okay, good. So that's Rav Hirsch. So according to Rav Hirsch, again, the basic reason that this is an issue is because these three things are like the essential midos of selfishness, of focusing too much on yourself and getting things towards yourself versus focusing on the welfare and the service of others. Those are his words, the service and the welfare of other people in the world. Okay, beautiful concept. Chochmu Musar, basically, Chochmu Musar, I was going to ask you to try to come up with it, but it's like really too complicated. I don't know why I ever think that, like, if I ever ask myself the questions that I ask you guys, I would like have no idea what to answer. So I'm just going to go, okay. Chochmu Musar says something similar to Rav Hirsch and essentially different. Okay, it's a very similar peyush to Rav Hirsch. It's much more similar to Rav Hirsch than it is to Rabbi Nagona. But what he says is exactly the opposite. And if you take together Chochmu Musar and Rav Hirsch together, you have this like beautifully balanced, wholesome perspective on Avodas Hashem. Okay, so here's Chochmu Musar. He points out something fascinating that I missed in Rabbi Nagona. Okay, talking about kinnah. He said, what's the basic problem in kinnah? I'm going to read it out loud to you. You tell me what he does here. It's beautiful. What's the basic issue in kinnah? When we're thinking about kinnah ourselves, how do we know if it's like krim kinnah or like okay kinnah? Like, how do we really know? Okay, this is what he says. It's beautiful. Ki yesh kinnah asher hi mishubachas ma'od. There's a very good kinnah. Again, what's he going to quote? Kinnah so from Tarba Chachma, Baba Basar Chaf Aleph Amar Alf. V'hainu, kinnah sheyihye gam hu ba'al maila kimocha veiro. So a kinnah that, hi Bacheva, I see your face, right? A kinnah that makes a person want to be more like his friend. Again, the other person is more intelligent than you. They know, or whatever. Let's say they know more Torah than you, and you become jealous. You also want to know more Torah, okay? Or you want to do as much chesed as them, or whatever it is that you want to do. You want to make as many shidduchim as they do, you know, whatever it is that's motivating you. So you want to be more like them because they have this mila that you don't have. Okay, v'zehu amnam tova ratzoi. It's very good. It's very good to want to have a good quality that someone else has. Again, this judging yourself against other people is like totally fine. Aval, hamiskana mipnei ma sheyishlecha veyero hamayla. But if you're jealous that your friend knows more Torah than you, and what do you want? You don't want to be more like them. What do you want?
Want him to know less than you.
Exactly. Yeah. You want him to be more like you. That's the kinnah that's krim. Isn't that a beautiful, like, shot? Right? If you're looking at someone else and that raises you up, that's totally fine. Because you're allowed to look at other people and judge yourself, but it has to be going in a certain direction. And the direction that gaze has to be is going upwards. If that's going to get you more up towards them, that's fine. We don't really care what's getting you there. As long as your motivation is up, you're fine. If you're looking at other people and what direction is that motivation going? Down. No. I want them to not have it. That's when it becomes crim. Isn't that beautiful? V'rutzeh shagam chavir yekamohu zecholi ramod. You have less and you want him to have less to be like you. That is a sickness that's very bad. Okay, and then he goes on. And he keeps giving us his peyrush. And I was going to give us the peyrush on kinnah, taiva, and kavod. And here's where he goes. Okay, so to keep that in mind, the like little judgment of like which direction we're going. Okay, the whole inyan hakinnah hu neged asechel. He's about to say that everything about kinnah, taiva, and kavod, what's the things that tie them together. Rav Hirsch says it's selfishness. Rabbi Yonah doesn't really answer that question. Chochmu Musar says it's basically that they make no sense. They're nonsensical, and he's about to explain why. And we know this. Again, it's like, I'm going to read it a little bit fast because it's going to resonate. We're like, yeah, of course. Okay, inyan hakinnah hu neged asechel. It's nonsensical. It's irrational. Ki asechel goes there. She'im ish sonei l're'ehu al devar hatzlecha so. If I hate somebody, again, because they are more successful than me in whatever way, they're more intelligent than me, they've learned more Torah. Ki erei amnam lo ya'ala me'uma biyodo ayidei kinaso. Laham itu lahaktin v'legroa me'eth sono. I'm going to be jealous of Ayelet because Ayelet learns more Torah than me. What does that have to do with Ayelet? I'm going to spend my whole time jealous of her and it's not going to affect her at all. So what's the point? It's like totally irrational. It's not doing anything. It's not going anywhere. Again, that's the directional piece, right? I want her to go down. Nothing happens. I want to go up. Something happens. I go up. I learn something. There's something for me to do. There's like action there. I just want her to go down. Nothing. What is it at? Right? It has nothing to do with it. Ki re'eu yisher al-matzavot. Ayelet's still going to know more Torah than me. Im chacham hu yisher b'chachmaso. Im asher hu yisher b'shashro. She's going to be more wealthy. She's going to be more intelligent. V'lo yale biyado ha-mekanek im rekav atzmosav. That's quoting the same quote from Rabbi Yonah about that, about kinnah, right? Rekav atzmosav. That it dries up your bones. The only thing that's going to happen is that I'm going to get an ulcer and I'm going to die because I'm so mad that Ayelet has something. I'm never going to affect Ayelet an ounce. I'm only going to eat myself up. Okay, Chochmu Musar here shows us that his Motzinas Adam Min Olam is extremely literal, right? You will make yourself sick. This will eat you alive, and then it will eat you alive, and you will no longer be alive because it will eat you alive. Okay, that's his like super shot. Motzinas Adam Min Olam, you're going to kill yourself through this, basically. You're going to cause yourself like legit sickness. Okay, again, okay, B'chol Asher Yarbeli, okay, right? So he goes, I'm skipping some lines because he goes on and on about how ridiculous this is. And then he goes, is there anything more ridiculous than this? Is there any foolishness? Is there any like shtus more than this? This is ridiculous. Right? Taiva too. Because why? Because the doctor tells you you should eat more kale and not eat cookies. And then you go home and you're like, I'm going to eat more kales and not cookies. And the next morning, you're eating cookies for breakfast instead of kale. And you're like, why can't I do that? Right? It doesn't make an ounce of sense. The doctor told you to do something. You want to be healthy. You want to do what the doctor says. And you can't. Instead, you're ruled by your taiva. It doesn't make an ounce of sense. Right? But right? It takes a lot of rationality, a lot of self-discipline, let's say, to actually follow doctor's orders. Ukumo came in a kavod. The same thing with these three. That's what unites all three of these. Also is kavod. Lema yirta adam shatzlacha so tiya monachas bidei acherim. If I want to be successful, what do I care if other people think I'm successful or not? I should just want to be successful myself. What do I care if other people do or don't think that I'm successful or not? Im yirta yichabdu, im lo yirtu lo yichabdu. What, like, if they want to honor me, they will. If they don't honor me, they won't. Why should that matter to me at all? Okay? So then again, a few lines later, he says that the whole point, again, that is the reason we should learn Musar. Why? To lock your desires in the jail of your intellect. Fascinating, right? So again, he doesn't necessarily resolve that. He's making like a Musar point of it. The point of learning Musar is to be able to be more rational, okay, in these kinds of ways. So these are like opposing rationality, that like highest rationality that a man is capable of. Fine. But what's Chochmah Musar saying that's actually similar and essentially different to Rav Hirsch at the same time? According to Rav Hirsch, the essential issue is what? Right? That you are trying to look at the outside world and suck it inwards. What's the essential issue according to Chochmah Musar? Both that directional piece of kinah and the fact that it's irrational. What do I care whether, like, what do I, if I'm jealous of Ayala, it's not going to do anything to Ayala. What does it matter? What do I care if Ayala gives me kavod? She either will or she won't. Why can't I just be successful? Right? And again, if his doctor wants me to do something, why can't I not just do what I want to do? Right? Why am I controlled by this thing outside of me? It's exactly the opposite. Right? According to Chochmah Musar, it's exactly the opposite. The issue is that you're spending not too much time looking at other people and not but on yourself. According to Chochmah Musar, all success is dependent on not, again, Rav Hirsch is like, you're spending too much time on yourself, you should be looking at other people. Chochmah Musar is the opposite. You're spending too much time looking at other people, you have to look at yourself. Right? Your hatzlacha, your own success, what does it matter if someone else is giving you success, like thinks that you're successful, giving you kavod, has nothing to do with it. You should be okay with yourself. Right? Kina in the same way. What does it matter what Ayelet has? You should be trying to get better, Chana. Ayelet is totally irrelevant to you. Right? And again, Taiva, like what do you care if this thing? You should be trying to make yourself healthy. That's what you're focusing on. You're always focusing on yourself. Chochmah Musar is the opposite. You're spending too much time focusing on other people. You have to only focus on yourself. The only thing that matters is you and your avodas Hashem and whether or not you're doing what's right. The outside world does not matter. Rav Hirsch is the opposite. Right? It's like fascinating. Isn't it? Again, especially that directional piece. Rav Hirsch is the opposite. You're being too selfish. Push it out. So again, if you take Rav Hirsch and you put him together with Chochmah Musar, you get this balanced avodas Hashem. That you need to be only focused on yourself. The only person that you are responsible for and whose judgment and whose progress matters is yourself. But what progress are you measuring in yourself about whether or not it matters? How much you're doing for the world? So you are judging yourself against yourself. Doesn't matter kina, doesn't matter kavod, doesn't matter taiva, right? The outside world basically is irrelevant to you other than you're responsible for yourself. But what is yourself responsible for? Other people. Service and, what's it? What service and, what's that other word of Rav Hirsch? Welfare. Service and service of the world and its welfare. That man fulfills his purpose, okay? You focus on yourself only, and your only responsibility towards yourself and the world is to service the world. Good, right? Beautiful. And we learn how to be jealous of other people in a way that's okay. That's always good.